I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
Hi, I'm Ando.
And I'm Fer.
And we host
Niñas Bien Podcast. We want to invite you to listen to our show.
Niñas Bien means good girls in Spanish, but you have to know that this is not a podcast for good girls.
Or for girls at all. It is a comedy podcast, so everyone is welcome to listen.
We talk about sex, relationships, technology.
We recommend movies and TV shows and discuss pop culture in general.
And there is Chisme Ajeno too.
A section we have just to gossip about everyone. So you'll find something you like here.
And you'll practice your Spanish.
The cleanest Spanish you'll find, we promise.
And if you already hablas español,
vamos a ser tus nuevas amigas. We'll be your friends for the non-Spanish speakers.
New episodes every Monday and Thursday.
Hosted by Acast and available to all audio platforms.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.
G'day, legends. Welcome back to the Rugby League Guru Podcast. As we said earlier this morning, we're going to sort of be out of action this weekend as far as the podcast goes. Got our wedding anniversary and a few things going on. So I'm going to be out of action. So the entire preview for the rest of round six was live this morning on the podcast. Go check it out with our best bets and everything throughout the weekend brought to you by Neds. But on Sunday night, we normally do the rapid review on YouTube. We're not going to have that this week. We're going to have our hands full and whatnot. Not going to be able to make it. So I have got a little special something for you that we'll be dropping on Sunday night, which I think you're really going to enjoy. You may have noticed that in the CBA Center of Excellence, when you see it on Instagram and on socials and whatnot, that in the background, I've got some designs that I got an artist to make for me that are sort of rugby league grand final themed. And I actually had the artist come in the other day, and we sat down for about an hour and a half and had probably the nerdiest rugby league chat of all time, going through each and every one of them, all the finer details. I'm going to attach some of the podcast audio for you here, but I would highly advise you go and watch this one on YouTube. Kathmandu has been working herself down to the bone this week, putting all the pictures in there so that you guys can see them as we talk about it. This was my absolute perfect afternoon talking rugby league from the 80s to the 90s to the 2000s to the modern day, just the finer details that a true rugby league fan has put in there. His name is Tom. He is an absolute genius. I love the work that he does. His Instagram account is The Messenger RL, The Messenger RL. Go and check it out. He does some incredible things. He's designed a lot of my logos and stuff. He's done a fantastic job for me over the years, so it was a real treat to have him into the studio to go through all of the designs and whatnot. If you have a look through my Instagram page, you can kind of see them sprinkled throughout the studio and whatnot. In the background, they are just top shelf, different themes to all of them. You'll really enjoy them. A little clip here of us talking about certain games. I'm not even sure which clip it is, to be completely honest with you, but it was all fantastic. And then Sunday night after the footy's finished, it'll be live on YouTube for you to sit down and watch. I would advise getting some popcorn, grab yourself a brewski, put the feet up and really enjoy this chat. I think you're going to absolutely love it. And then the podcast will be available on Monday as well. So some fantastic content coming your way on Sunday night. I'm going to hand it over now to myself and Tom to have a little bit of a chat around some of his fantastic designs. You know, I would describe it as an arrogance the Penrith Panthers have, an arrogance that I love, though, because they know how good they are, which is what the Broncos were in the 90s and 2000s.
And that's exactly what we're trying to communicate. Yeah. That's why the Penrith is so big there. We could segue to 02 if you want.
Go ahead.
Where the whole idea is like 23, Penrith is so big there. We're 02 here. We're seeing two teams who are sort of equals that haven't been to, well, East had been to a grand final 2 years earlier.
Yep.
Were they the finished piece? They were sort of meeting as equals. We're 23. There was no way that we could ever sort of see Penrith and Broncos were equals on that field that night.
Now, the 0-2.
Oh, this burns me.
Yeah, I was, you know, that was going to be what I was going to kick off with. Obviously, the 0-2 grand final.
Was there as well. Because we were going every year because Dad would buy grand final tickets in June, July because, you know, the Dogs are good.
Yeah, so obviously 0-2, we have the salary cap scandal. The first one, the Canterbury Bulldogs obviously have all their points taken off them. One of the greatest sides we have ever seen. And the 0-2, mate, when I think back to the 0-2 grand final, honestly, I almost look at it as an entree to the 04 grand final.
Yeah.
And that storyline. So
there are a trilogy of grand finals, 02, 03, 04. I know it's a trilogy for East, but it's a sort of a running narrative where I feel like that era of football culminated in the 04 grand final. And then 05, we went to something else.
And that's what I love. It was 02, Canterbury aren't there. The Roosters go and get the job done against the Warriors, who, you know, I don't think either of these two teams were better than Canterbury that year. Salary cap, whatever you want to say. You then get to 03 and the Roosters play Canterbury Bulldogs in the prelim final.
And the Roosters, I remember the kickoff.
Yeah.
And Willie Mason, I think it was Steve Price or Willie Mason, and they forced him back 10 yards. And it was almost like, oh, shit. You could feel it being in the ground. Me being only like 13, 14, it was almost like, oh, we're in trouble here.
And it was funny at the end of that game, you know, at the end of the day, that was the Roosters grand final. They had to put everything into that.
Into beat Canterbury.
Yeah. And you talk to players from that. Like I've had Mini Texas Walker on the podcast and you talk to them and they go like, we knew we weren't going to win that grand final because we'd put everything we had in our bodies into beating Canterbury.
You could see it.
Yep. You could see it. They were sluggish. They were, And then the next year after that, you get to the 04 grand final, which I've been to many games. It's my favourite game I've ever been to, and I always love
hearing that. Yeah. Well,
mate, as you know, I'm a huge Brad Fittler guy. Freddie's my guy. That was Freddie's last ever game, and mate, I remember still to this day the loudest noise I've ever heard in my entire life was when Canterbury ran out that night. The roar was just unbelievable, when Bobcat makes that tackle at the end. There's so many little things from that game that I'll never forget. Like I remember there was obviously the tackle by Bobcat. I'll never forget. Like I remember as Hazim El-Masri goes to score his try, and a little thing that's forgotten is Shannon Hegarty gets there. I was at the game and I've watched it a million times since, but I still remember live as it was happening, watching El-Masri wrestle on top, and people say double movement, whatever.
Nah.
There was a moment there where Shannon Hegarty was there and he started clapping.
Yeah.
And I remember standing there live going, what the fuck is Hegarty doing? And then El-Masri comes over the top. An incredible game.
I love the 10 seconds before that with Sherwin going sideways, pulling defenders out of the line, and then the inside ball to El-Masri running on the angle. I love Shifty.
Yeah.
And I don't think Shifty ever got to play at the rep level that he really deserved to, just because he played at the time when, you know, you had Andrew Johns, Brett Camoli running the show.
I always say with Shifty, and I'll die on this hill, and I'm pretty sure you'll join me on this hill for the first time, it won't be lonely. Short kicking game alone, Shifty has the best short kicking game I've ever seen in rugby league.
I'm not against that because I'm a Canterbury supporter. I think Johns is it. If they're on the same level, you're going to get fire me up because the short kicking game now, this season, has been killed because of the rules.
Yeah, it sucks. They've already tried to kill it with the 7-tackle set, and now they've just killed it even more as time's going on.
It's a bad product.
Yeah. It's a very poor decision.
You're seeing teams surrender on 5th tackle rather than trying to grab an in goal. I'll go on a tangent. Let's move on. Let's talk about 0-2. So we've got the Warrior and the Rooster. The Rooster I'm really happy with. So these were both influenced by NFL sort of drawings from the 80s as well. But I really like the Rooster because of the addition of the headband with Fittler.
Freddie,
with Richard Villasanti coming over the top.
Villasanti!
A bit of a cheap shot, but then that was the sort of turning point where that could have been the Warriors on top. We're going to physically intimidate the Roosters with half an hour to go.
Yeah.
But all that did was just the Roosters just like, well, fuck you guys. You came after our captain. We're going to demolish you now.
Yeah, it was the old sleeping giant term. Adrian Morley was reasonably quiet in that game. Once Freddie was hit, You just saw Morley go bang.
Click, yeah.
Yeah. An incredible moment in grand final history. I also think, mate, that Warriors jersey, when I think about the greatest grand final tries.
Stacey,
right up there. I think Stacey in 02 and I think Cody Walker in 21 are two individual tries that are lost to history, except to nerds like us because they didn't win. But, mate, that play that Stacey pulls off.
The ground just lifted, didn't it? Because there were so many Waz fans in the drawing. I think the Mad Butcher just bought a ton of tickets and distributed them to, like, Kiwis living in Bondi. But the joint went through the roof and it was all of a sudden, because I feel like the Roosters dominated the first half. But then when Stacey sort of stepped through and made that try, it was almost like, oh, they can turn this on now.
Yeah, they're on here. Yeah. And it just, I think he steps past Mick Crocker, maybe Ricketson. Freddie goes for the ankle tap and misses. He runs around. Lukey Phillips, like, some pretty handy footballers there. Like, it's a cracking try. It is unreal.
Is it a point in the game where it's 6-2 and they go ahead 8-6?
Yeah.
And that changes the game. Second half, there's about half an hour to go and it's almost like the game is now at a precipice. Mm. We're like, we're on here, buckle up. It's just sort of it's a bit similar to 2014 where we were hoping for a classic in the last 20, but then the dominant team shows why they are the dominant team and blows them out of the water.
It's interesting too, like when I think about the Roosters, like I personally think the Roosters, 2000, 2004, I think it's one of the greatest assemblements of a squad.
It's badass, isn't it?
And you know what?
How good's the cap?
The what?
How good's the cap?
Yeah. I'll tell you what, for me, the 02 team was good. I reckon the 03 team was better than the 02 team, and I reckon the 04 team was better than the 03 and the 02 team. The 04 team, and that's why Canterbury should get so much respect, the 04 team Roosters, people will say Parramatta 01, and on stats I agree with you, but the Roosters 04 team is the best team to never win a premiership, in my opinion.
The Roosters had a grit that the Parramatta didn't.
Yep.
Parramatta was silkier, fantastic attacking force. But that was the sort of thing where that 04 grand final was so gritty. You couldn't give up a yard, and then Mason with those post-contact meters pretty much bring the team kicking, screaming along with him. Sonny Bill with a hit on Flannery. It was just such a physical, hard game. And it felt at the time, every time there's a grand final at Homebush, at night, it's going to rain. It was this dewy, wet, misty rain in the first half. It made it slippery, handling errors. It's just a hard fucking game of football. But that also characterised the two teams and the character of what they were about. And then it sort of, the next year at 05, it went away. It was like, we're attacking and everything touch changed. Footy and flick passes.
Yeah, everything changed. Yeah, you just had Tim Sheens who just turned the game on its head. And the Cowboys, to their credit. Like, obviously, like, that's the other thing people forget, that Jonathan Thurston was obviously on the bench for Canterbury in 04, goes up to the Cowboys and just revolutionises the way that they play their footy. No, I shouldn't say revolutionise, but like, they obviously lost the prelim to the Roosters the week before in
04. Took them to another level.
Another level, yeah, for sure. Mate, the thing that I love about this design, one of the things, I've got a few more things I want to bring up with you, but the league week design, just the border on the outside, I love how the Rooster and the Warrior are sort of, they're on top of that design. They look like they're within it, but they're on top of it. And, you know, I think I've actually still got this specific rugby league week that you've based this off in this studio somewhere.
So it's the 2002... big league grand final edition. Yeah. So I base it specifically off the colours. Even the banner at the top where I've got almost your sort of social media blurred where it's analysis, predictions, opinions and super coach content. I think it was like inside win like a Nutri-Grain footy and 500 bucks or something. Yeah. But like I've taken that, even like the old Telstra premiership logo, which I love. That was such a good aesthetically looking logo. And I've changed the Telstra logo and it's your G is in that as well. The Warrior is sort of taken from NFL, but it's like a mid-90s. There were so many good iterations of Warriors merch in like that 95 to 96 sort of season.
Yeah.
And so I've sort of borrowed a couple of different things from there and sort of that's how that's sort of come together, where the Rooster is a little bit much more sort of college American football-esque.
Talk to me about the Warrior. The boot stands out for me.
I think it was Stacey's boots.
Yep, Stacey's. Yeah.
So I was doing a deep cut at the time because I wanted to get the jersey details really right because the V is quite unusual with its shape. It's curved. It's got that red trim around it. It's sort of when the brand was in flux moving from Auckland to New Zealand.
Yes. Yep.
And they were sort of foot in both camps. at the time, I thought it was a really ugly jersey, but I've sort of come to love it now.
It's aged nicely.
Yeah. It's now, if they pulled that out as a retro, I'd love it. And those boots are just so peak, early 90s. They're garish. It also talks about Nike coming into rugby league during that era, and that sort of Nike was the predominant brand, where they've sort of walked away from league.
Yeah.
I always felt like Nike gear in league was all aesthetically just looked the best.
The other thing that I always think of this jersey, like, and sort of, you know, playing a part with that Nike sort of vibe to it and stuff, I always think this jersey for me, and I think it's one of the great losses to rugby league of all time, Ali Lawatiti left
not long
after this. And this is, you know, Ali, people don't understand how fucking good Lawatiti was. He was
offloads for days, yardage.
He was once described as the Michael Jordan of rugby league.
I was thinking that too.
And honestly, people are going, it's a bit over the top. It was a fucking understatement. He was unbelievable. He obviously went over, I think he played for the Bulls for a number of years over there, Bradford. Yeah. Carved it up there, but mate, if he would have stayed in rugby league, he would have been one of the greatest back rows we've ever seen. He would have by far and away been one of the most entertaining we've ever seen.
Who was the Warriors coach in 02?
Daniel Anderson. We wish Anderson all the very best.
Did Anderson back in 02 and 01? Or no, Anderson was our coach in 09 for Parramatta.
Yeah, he was 09 Parramatta. Yeah, but was he 09 Parramatta? Yeah. When was he at Parramatta, Ando? Was he the coach of the 05 side too with Timmy Smith and stuff?
No, Brian Smith was. I remember that because I was at the 05 prelim.
Oh, no, he was 09 Parramatta, yeah. Wasn't he? Sorry, yeah.
I was at the 05 prelim and we just had free tickets. I think we won it through Telstra.
Yeah.
And we're sitting in the bowl at the back on the corner sort of thing, cheap seats. And they were playing North Queensland Parramatta prelim. And Thurston just put on a clinic. And we loved it because it was Thurston, it was Paul Rahihi, and it was Travis Norden. It was Dogs of 2002. It's almost like these guys are still beating Para. And there were Para fans where it's almost like, kill Brian Smith. Like it was mental disintegration, that football team, on the biggest stage.
Yeah.
And I just sort of loved it. Where I think if a Parramatta fan at the time, you'd sort of die inside.
I'll tell you what else I love about having those two next to each other, and you'll appreciate this. Like, obviously, that Panthers side, you know, their main guy and their goal kicker, Nathan Cleary, that Warriors side, their goal kicker that night.
There's a lot of symmetry there. Yeah. Yeah,
very cool. Very, very cool. Mate, the 0-2, I absolutely love that one. Probably not remembered as one of the greatest grand finals of all time, but it was a cracker. Our next one is
a bit different, eh?
Yeah.
We didn't experience it either.
Yes, but it's part of rugby league folklore, and I think that you know, the 2015 grand final is probably considered to be the greatest grand final of all time, but this one is pure fucking rugby league, man. And I'm going to hand it over to you, but this one, it just screams Winfield to me.
That's the thing. Yeah. So this was one of the early ones that we did because I wanted to, again, a love letter to the Winfield Cup branding. It's so romantic. It's so seductive as well with that word mark. And that's why I've got that right at the bottom, making the big game bigger, because that was the motto before Simply the Best. And it was very it's again, time and place. Like, once you see it, it's almost like, you know, you're transported to that time. And then these are just really fun sort of mascots.
Yeah.
We've drawn them sort of based on Full Ball, which was, again, that sort of 90s brand where any of those sort of really great classic tees that you might see on eBay or Instagram that people are sort of flogging, it's that sort of classic brand. And so we just wanted to do something really fun, really aggressive. So the Raider with his pickaxe ready to march on. The horns were just really fun to design as well. There's just a lot of character in that face, and that comes down to Tom's initial drawing too. And then with the Balmain one, it's actually the old Balmain sort of logo, but it's reversed the other way.
Yes.
It's not even the Balmain logo. It's the Balmain League's logo, which is stylized version of the original football club logo. And they're just really romantic, lovely sort of like smash them up, fun sort of logos that you could that would sort of sit well on a t-shirt. And then it's just got this really seductive sort of text where you've got the Winfield Cup text. There's that Rugby League Week style text for the teams. Even down to the really precise, the date, the stadium, where it feels like you're buying this outside the ground on the day. And then I really love the word mark up the top, this Guru 89. And I feel like I should have maybe romanced that a little bit more in some of the others, but you see that the year is present in all of them, where it's Guru, the grand final is present. But I really like that really tall sort of, it's quite a powerful font at the time. And then it also sort of sits with that big league sort of cursive where it's had that sort of thick underline at that era. And it's just, it just looks very iconic for the time.
Mate, when you first sent me this one, loved it. I looked at that and went, fuck, this guy gets exactly where my life is at right now.
It's also
now
got like the Winfield cup that we've used for your merch as well.
About to say to you, mate, the number one thing that stood out to me was it was the first appearance of the Winfield cup, which we've used on the merch, on the hats here. Have I got that hat on, the red one?
Yep.
Yes. We've got it here as well. And I just think, you know, as much as you know, you've only just redesigned what the trophy looks like, it's just iconic. I love the way that it sits on that one. It's just subtle. But it is just so fucking perfect. It's
satisfying, isn't it?
Oh, mate. It just, and you know, I think that nowadays, and like even for that trophy, like I believe this is the grand final after where Laurie Daly drops it off the back of the bus and breaks it and like just.
Now with the sunglasses going down Civic in Canberra.
That Canberra Street the parade. There's so many photos from that I'm just like. This is 90s rugby league down to it's 89, but this is.
But yeah, it's the same sort of era.
So just nostalgic, pure. I love too, mate. I don't know how you'd describe it. You'll be able to describe it to me, but I love how it's almost like designed like a badge.
Which one? Oh, the actual
89. Yeah, how it's got like it meets down at the bottom like that.
So that's taking the old New South Wales rugby league logo and the shape of that and romancing that. So because again, it's quite curved. It's the meeting in the middle and then just elongating that so it stretches all the way up and then you've got that sort of red into that golden gradient of the trophy as well. The other little detail I really like, and this is nerd shit that I think you would like as well. So on the old big leagues, you would see right on the top where it's almost like official publication of New South Wales Rugby League, 1994, volume, blah, blah, blah. And so what we've got done there, it says Rugby League Guru Podcast, and then I think it says podcast, YouTube, Instagram, and Twitter maybe. I can't remember the exact, but it's matching the exact same font. So again, trying to look for real authenticity that it's all in the details.
Those little subtle things.
Yeah. And it's again, as we've said before, football people know that.
And you know, like when I look at the first three we've analysed, like as I said, we've got the eggshell white, we've got the gold around the O2, and then that red once again. I'm going for another trip to Bunnings and you could take me down there and I could pick out the Winfield red out of a thousand reds.
It's sexy.
Yeah.
Does that make sense? Well, no wonder that cigarette sort of marketing was doing it, that Winfield was sort of running the New South Wales Rugby League sort of marketing operations at the same time.
Now, the next one. And this is probably, I would say out of all them, probably the most controversial one, which I've heard your explanation of this and I get it 100%. My wife, I'll be honest with you, huge South Sydney fan, she almost took offence to this one and I explained the storyline to her and she just wasn't able to get it, you know, just couldn't get it. Now, when I look at the 14, mate, you know, I just spoke about iconic backgrounds. That green absolutely hits it out of the park.
Again, that's reminiscent of like early sort of 1999, 2000, the start of the NRL branding era when it's almost the combined competition coming back and them sorting out what the actual the brand and imagery looks like. And so that's what it's adopting there with that green.
Now, well,
an image too, right, in the back
so the
of
image
that.
Behind it is from the protest marches from 2000 when South were kicked out. So that was the sort of whole
that
idea.
That detail is so satisfying.
So it's got a halftone pattern, like it's like a newspaper text on that green. And the whole idea there, it's where South have come from.
Yeah,
the romance of that, but also the sort of tortured existence that South had to go through, that they were the also-rans easy beats, that they went broke, they got kicked out, they had to fight to get back in. And if you know anything about that sort of law, I tell you what, you still don't really know how they were able to get back in. But they just sheer bloody-mindedness. Guys like Andrew Denton and Anthony Albanese on the board, George Pickens, making that sort of happen by, again, bringing the rugby league community out. And as I remember as a Canterbury sort of fan, it was almost like Canterbury aligned themselves to Souths and trying to support them during their sort of plight, where that's why I always sort of feel like a soft spot for Souths, because the Canterbury sort of board at that time were sort of like a brother in arm to South in a certain extent that they helped them get back into the competition. That's why I sort of love that grand final, even though as a Dogs person that they lost. It meant a lot because my brother-in-law is a Souths fan.
Yeah.
And so it was me, my sister, and him went to the game. He sat in the barrow. We sat in the kennel. And I, that grand final week just meant a lot to me at the time because everybody wanted South to win. And I totally get it. But I want my football team to win too. And we're, how often grand finals are so rare. And even though going for Canterbury at that time, we were 2 years out from the 2012 disappointment. But it also meant because we'd lost that grand final, this means more. This is going to last forever. And now it's almost 10 years later, sort of you cherish it even further. Even though losing that game, just to be there at the big dance means a lot. You're proud of your football team. You're proud of where you're from. I was fun, so proud to be from Canterbury Bankstown. That's who I am as a person.
Yeah.
And that's my football team at grand final day. But also what South means to so many people across the country, not just in Redfern and Maroubra, but the fact that, you've got supporters in Liverpool, you've got supporters across regional New South Wales and Queensland, across the country, and what South means to them. So that week was really special to me. So I apologise to South fans if they don't like the depiction, where the whole idea here is they are the pride of the league. They are the song. They are Reggie Rabbit. They are the romance. They are the grand old flag, so to speak.
Do you know, when you said they are the Reggie Rabbit, I got goosebumps on my arm.
That's
I think I understand where Beck was coming from when she first saw that and said, why is the bulldog so intimidating?
Because we're bad and we're going to fuck you up.
Yeah, and fair enough. won, but at the same time, when you describe it like that, we won, but Reggie Rabbit's our guy.
Yeah.
He's our rabbit. Didn't need the big intimidation. We had
Russell Crowe talked about our rabbit is a big black rabbit, which is it leers up, it's got long fangs, it's going to get you. But the quintessential image of Souths is Reggie. And so let's stick to that.
Mate, months ago when you sent this to me, you explained to me, and I remember there was some reference to Bambi.
So,
and that's what stood out to me. Yeah.
So FBI Radio, just down the road from here in Redfern, so they used to do a rugby league program by Stephen Ferris called Fire Up, and it would be on a Friday morning from 9 to 10. And so whenever I wasn't working, just chuck it on, and it was just such fantastic content. I still think they run as a podcast, but I don't think they're no longer on the radio. So FBI, if you don't know, is a community-run radio station, but very much indie sort of music in Sydney, and that's just who I was at the time, listened to that. But they ran a footy show on Friday morning. And that week they had Brendan Cowell in. So are you familiar with Brendan Cowell? Brendan Cowell, actor, just loves Cronulla, but just a rugby league person through and through, a real character of the game. And he's done his book called Plum. He's making an ABC TV series based on the book where he plays an ex-pro who played for Cronulla and it's about his life. So he's on the program and he's like, let's...
I'm Sandra, and I'm just the professional your small business was looking for. But you didn't hire me, because you didn't use LinkedIn Jobs. LinkedIn has professionals you can't find anywhere else, including those who aren't actively looking for a new job, but might be open to the perfect role, like me.
In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't visit other leading job sites. So if you're not looking on LinkedIn, you'll miss out on great candidates, like Sandra. Start hiring professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
Let's go the Bulldogs. Let's kill Bambi sort of thing. Like it was like, let's be the bad guys. Embrace it. Everybody wants to see South win. But fuck them. Let's kill Bambi. Let's be the baddest people. Let's shatter dreams. And it sort of felt like a call to arms as a Canterbury person. And it's sort of like Canterbury Bankstown, we love being the bad guy.
Yeah.
We are the baddest team on turf. Well, that was our sort of identity. And it's almost like, no, we are going to upset everybody, just like how we did in the early 2000s.
Acast powers the world's best podcasts. Here's a show that we recommend.
I'm Ina Garten. Welcome to Be My Guest, the podcast. One of the best gifts you can give friends is spending time together. But what's even better than that? Cooking with them. On Be My Guest, the podcast, new friends and old stop by my barn for some conversation and great cooking. We talk about food, life, and everything in between. Listen to Be My Guest, the podcast with me, Ina Garten, and join us wherever you get your podcasts.
Acast helps creators launch, grow, and monetize their podcasts everywhere. Acast.com.